Tripod Live, baby. We back. Welcome back to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. Possibly the strangest introduction you might ever see to one of our shows. But how are you, Winnie? We've got a big finals preview coming up. I can't wait. How are you?
Oh, well, it's a great time of year to be a footy fan. It wasn't a great week for me last week. Both of my early tips were the losing ones. They suffered from some surprise team announcements. Still had a chance, but nevertheless, they lost. The solitary Wednesday best bet did win. And then the mixed matchup as well really hurt me. Losing because the Knights scored two tries in the final 3 minutes thanks to acrobatic ingenuity from Dom Young. And that still only ended up in a 6-6 try tie. But we don't win in the event of a tie. So I'm in the hurt locker, no doubt about it. And look, at least this week, there's less guessing in terms of player personnel. Everyone's amped up. The best teams remaining after 27 rounds are going to battle it out. And we get to see what they're made of. And I've still got some best bets that I think are strong plays. Tread carefully if you're going to go with me, because I have to admit, I'm ice cold right now.
And that is the interesting thing when you go round 2017 to finals week one. Round 27, it's almost a bet in a bet as to what side you're going to get run out there. I learned that the hard way in our challenge we did a few years ago with the Storm and Dragons game. But come finals week one, I've got to admit, I'm feeling pretty confident about most games. I do have a solid pick, or at least a solid idea as who I think should win each of the four games we've got, which we will get into in just a moment. Before we get there, we know everyone's favorite segment is the best bet. So let's draw back the curtain and let us know what you have in the way of best bets for finals week one.
I don't know how many people's favorite this segment still remains. And we haven't discussed the games yet with each other. So I'm interested to see how many of these you're going to agree with. I've got three. So I like Brisbane Friday night. The best way to take that is actually going to be the Storm team total under 18.5, $1.88 on Dabble, because I think Melbourne can make it a real grind, arm wrestle. Finals are always lower scoring. So I don't think that the Storm are going to kind of score maybe four tries, get in the 20s. I think Brisbane really are defensively sound, and they've shown that all year. And while Melbourne might shut down time and space for Brisbane, I think that the Storm can't generate enough go forward through Brisbane's middles to get those points. Then I like the Sharks, plus half a point at $1.88 in the first half against the Roosters, because I look up and down and I'm finding a few small edges to the Sharks, and in addition to being at home, and again, points are at a premium in the finals and you don't even have to be leading to win that bet. It's essentially a pick 'em, but you're getting an underdog where you're only going to lose if the Roosters lead into the break. And then I'm going at the Knights, -6, $1.85, second half handicap. So you go alt line and top sport, you're going to find that one. Because I do like the Knights against the Raiders. I give you credit because you called that one out on Sunday as jumping out at you. Even though it was the largest line, it looked appealing. And when I envision a Knights strong, comprehensive win in front of their sold-out crowd and as they march on to 10 wins in a row, I tend to think there's a good chance of the dam wall kind of breaking with the key players being out for Canberra. And I especially like the Knights' chance of winning 13-plus by piling on late. That's why I think the second half handicap could be an even stronger play, although I lean to the line. Either way I look at it, I think Newcastle wins big to cap the round of footy.
Completely agree on the Knights game. Raiders have let some big scores, or some teams really get back in the contest against them this year that they shouldn't have. The biggest one that I think of is the Dragons. I think they were up by like 20 and they let the Dragons come right back, which is definitely some evidence there. The Knights could do the same. Think Sharks and Roosters is the closest, but I am with you on that. And the Brisbane Broncos this year are averaging 17.7 points conceded. So you're right on that average there. Can finals bring something else out of them? Certainly it could. I think they're all really, really great players there. We'll get into our round specific preview in just a moment. Before we do so, we have a very special clip from a very good looking man. That man is none other than Tristan Merlihan, the CEO of TopSport. He's got some exclusive market insights for us.
G'day everyone, it's Tristan Merlihan here from TopSport, and we're up to finals footy. Very exciting time. We've got a couple of blockbusters, particularly the Broncos Storm game and also the Sharks against the Roosters on Saturday night. But I think a lot of eyes are going to be focused on that Broncos Storm game, where we've known about the record with the Storm and how good they've been against the Broncos, but the Broncos look a completely different side this year. They've been brilliant. Obviously, the Storm got the result last weekend, which goes into that hoodoo, but we know there was a lot of players missing. Where she opened that line up at 4 flat, just taking into account that we thought maybe the market might move towards the Storm, just with all the other talk around that, and obviously knowing how the Storm perform in the finals. But the push has actually so far been for the Broncos. The line's gone from 4 out to 4.5. We have laid that 4.5. I get the feeling that if we're at 4.5, we'll lay the plus. If we're at 4 flat, we'll lay the minus. So we'll see where that book ends up. In the Panthers game, there's been a push for the Panthers, 12.5 out to 13. The Roosters game, we opened at Pick'em. It's gone 190 into $1.85, so it's still a very, very close betting game, but there has been a little bit of support for the Roosters. And then finally, the Knights. I think there was some doubt over Ponga. He's been named. That's seen the line shift over that key number of 12, 11.5 out to 12.5. So obviously the Knights, very, very firm favourites there. These two sides matched up recently, and the Knights have been way too good in recent times. So looking forward to the finals kicking off. I think it's going to be a great weekend. We're going to have a blockbusters week in, week out now, and hopefully you're back a winner if you're having a bet. Gamble responsibly, of course.
Great stuff there from Tristan, as always, and we appreciate his exclusive market insight. Always interesting hearing it from the other perspective, the bookies there. And let's jump into our specific round preview. Finals week one. This game right here, Winnie, for me, is the most important because the winner would go on the other side of the draw to Penrith if they beat Warriors in the next one, which does seem somewhat likely. So very, very important game in the context of both of these sides' season. Of course, it's Broncos v Storm. We're at Suncorp Stadium on Friday night at 7:50 p.m. And the line is set at -4.5 in the Broncos' favour. Everyone rested last week returns. The big news from their team list is Corey Oates has been dropped in favour of young gun Jesse Arthurs. For the Storm, also everyone returns. And the big news from them, Meaney to fullback Ryan Pappenhausen via the bench. Now, deja vu here. We broke this one down 7 days ago with a similar line, but very different lineups. And you are keen on the Broncos again in this one.
That's right. You explained the importance. Okay, Penrith are quite a short favourite to win. Of course, you want to be on the other side of the draw to Penrith, although you most likely got to beat Penrith to win the comp either way. But what you know for sure is if you win this game, you got 2 weeks off. And you've got a home prelim, and that is just so vital. It goes a long way towards a potential premiership. I'm actually going to start my handicap of this game with a little anecdote from a podcast clip that I stumbled onto. I want to name it correctly. I believe it was called Osmerican Aces, and it was a few of the Storm boys talking about, I think they talk about their sports cards collection, among other things, right? But it was an NRL question, Munster, Hughes, Pappy, Coates, and they were asked, if you could add one player from another team to your team, who would it be? And their answers, Payne Haas, Ruben Cotter, Paddy Carrigan, James Fisher-Harris. I get it, they're all outside backs, they don't want to replace themselves. But I just found it funny, all independently said middle forwards, and that is where I think the biggest edge in this matchup lies. I'll let you talk about it. I know everyone else will talk about the sustained dominance by Melbourne over Brisbane in terms of the last 7 years and the numbers. But, I mean, come on, 2016, Melbourne nearly won the grand final. 2017, they were one of the best teams in modern era. 2018, they made the grand final. 19, they're in a prelim. 20, they're winning the grand final, right? And also what happened from 2019 onwards? Brisbane in 2019, 2020, 2021, not a lot of winning. So, yes, it's extreme to win that number in a row. But I don't think Brisbane was favourites a single occasion apart from last week when it was Bees versus Bees. Do you believe there's a psychological barrier that the Brisbane players fear the purple jerseys? I don't think Brisbane fears anybody when they walk out on Suncorp Stadium there, especially at full strength. And then, you know, Pappenhausen's back, but I still kind of think it's a little bit too late because it's awesome that he comes on and plays his roving middle role and adds cover on the bench. He can play in bursts, but like his natural position's fullback. And if he was at full fitness at fullback, you'd say Melbourne would have the best spine in the comp. Still a really good one, but it's not the same impact that maybe had he been back a month earlier, he could have really elevated Melbourne, in my opinion. If you're back Brisbane, a couple of guys you didn't mention, like on the injury report, I suppose Reynolds, who was withheld in round 26, and Carrigan the same. You have to assume they're right to go. But in fairness, Hughes and Grant have been on the injury report for Melbourne. I do like the Storm's two big wingers, but I still think Brisbane has the more explosive outside backs. You get on the back of Reynolds' kicking game. I do like the line under a converted try. I've gone team total, but I would play Brisbane. I just think the total's the best way as well because I think Melbourne will have a strong game plan. They're so well coached, and it will be to make the game ugly, push the officiating boundaries which you can a little bit in finals, shut down Brisbane, try and reduce their space and increase the play the ball speed to reduce the effectiveness of Reece Walsh, because otherwise he'll tear him apart like he has the majority of the competition. And Melbourne just wants to make the game an arm wrestle as long as they can. But it gets back to the forward battle, where if Melbourne's not on the front foot enough in this game, are they really going to score four tries, which is likely what you need to get over 18.5? I don't see it, and I think Brisbane progresses to the prelim.
And I have seen a lot of journalists try to break down that mental edge that the Storm might have, but I do think you can make that argument either way. Like, if I'm going to tip the Broncos, you could just as easily say, well, the Storm feel pressure because they know of this record they've got to try to maintain, right? And so I do think that argument goes both ways. I don't read into it too much, but I can tell you what, I'll be kicking myself no matter how this game goes, because I want to tip the Broncos. I really do want to tip them. But I've just broken my rule too many times this year about underestimating the Storm. And it would be just my luck that the week that I choose to apply that again, it goes against me. But I am going to tip Storm here. My main reasoning in this is finals experience compared to the Broncos. I go through the Broncos spine. Walsh, Mann, Walters, they've not played finals. Adam Reynolds has. If we compare that to Pappenhausen / Meaney, Munster, Hughes and Grant, we not only have players that are experienced in the finals, but we also have big game representative players, most notably there, you'd say Grant and Munster. I mean, consider this. Three out of the four Broncos spine have not played finals, and the Storm have a Clive Churchill medalist coming from the bench, albeit under circumstances where he's not quite 100%. You guys know the stats from last week. They haven't changed. Broncos have not beaten the Storm at Suncorp since 2009. Storm have won their past 14 straight over them, only losing two out of their last 26 games to the Broncos. When we go to home record and start to look for either side there, Broncos are 7-5 as the home side this year, and Storm's away record is identical. How I see this one is probably a super tight contest where the Storm kick their completion rate slightly higher than the Broncos, which it has been this season, only about 1%, nothing too notable there. But I do think without that finals experience, the Broncos might start to feel the pressure and we might see some uncharacteristic errors come out of their game, potentially in Reece Walsh, who does lead the NRL in errors. This is such an important game. I'm going to go Storm +4.5 to give myself a bit of insurance because I'm not fully sold. As I said, either way, mate, I'm going to be kicking myself because my head says Broncos should win, but my heart's just trying to come up with these reasons why I can't go against my rule. I'm doing a Gus Gould. I'm having an each-way bet. No matter what, I'm going to come.
I knew you'd take the Storm. I knew your rule, and I understand it, and plenty of people will be on them, and that's what makes it such a intriguing opening match to the finals.
Actually, I might change my tip. I think Storm could win +4.5. And if it loses, I'll come on here and I'll say, I only said could, learning from one of the
best. Well, I've seen everyone's preseason predictions floating around this week. And the thing is, everyone does their preview show and they say, oh, this team could make the eight for about 14 of the 17 teams. And at the end of the year, they show the clip of them saying they could make the eight. But very few shows only pick eight teams to make the eight. I digress.
Mate, I put up my ones I got wrong, and there were some embarrassing ones in there. Most notably, SJ to be dumped to reserve grade by the end of this year. But don't forget, for this game, we will be cooking up a same-game multi, and that's thanks to Betr. Our Betr sign-up link is in the show description here, and if you were listening as a podcast. And of course, if you do sign up, make sure you message us on the Tripod page on Facebook. But before you do sign up to any bookie, think, what are you prepared to lose today? Set a deposit limit. For free and confidential support, call the number or visit the website on screen. If you're listening as a podcast, that's also in the description. And I'm really excited to see what you cook up there in the way of a same-game multi. I have to think you'll be favouring on the Broncos side, maybe throwing in a try scorer. There's a lot of options and different ways you could play that same-game multi. Our next game is on the Saturday at 4 p.m. It's the Panthers v Warriors. We're at Bluebet Stadium in Penrith. And the line is the largest this week at -13.5 in the Panthers' favor. Now, they are essentially full strength. They are missing Jerome Luai. For the Warriors, all their rested players return, as does Jazz Devunga via the interchange. What do you think here, Winnie? On one hand, we have a Warriors side that really everyone's getting behind. Everyone's kind of on their bandwagon. But we know how dominant the Panthers are. So do you think this is a disrespectful line, or do you think the bookies have got it right?
It's an understandable line because although it is so big, I'm not going against Penrith. I feel like they've known they'd be top two for a few weeks, realistically. So they knew they'd be right where they are. Ivan sat out his stars when he needed to. yeah, they've had an injury here or there, but nobody ever had to rush back. And it all culminated in a devastating finals dress rehearsal a week ago against a Cowboys side that was playing for their lives. It didn't matter. They destroyed them. And Penrith are at home. Look, there's no weaknesses that I can pick in this team. I mean, Cogga is not Luai, but I even noticed Nathan playing a bit more left of the ruck as well. And looks like they're going to deploy Tungo at right centre, so Crichton's back at left centre. Crichton's one of the most electric outside backs in the competition right now. You know Penrith gets opportunities because their yardage game is elite, as is the kicking game, and you know their execution is so exceptional that they will take some of those opportunities. So I can't see the upset. I'm sorry to tell all the followers who are commenting up the waz. I appreciate it, and I think the prospect of New Zealand winning this game, and imagine that, getting that fortnight off and getting a home prelim in Auckland would be absolutely phenomenal. I'd love to see it. I just can't really see it. As for the line, it comes down to then would you play Penrith 13 plus? Would you lay that double digit line? And for me, it's like this line is longer than it was a week ago with Penrith against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys aren't as good as the Warriors. I know more's at stake here because it's a finals game, but the minor prem was still on the line and Penrith was full strength. You knew they'd still give their best. So I respect New Zealand's ability to stay in the grind with Penrith. You know, Penrith can punish a team over 80 minutes, but this New Zealand forward pack I think is still underrated and won't be bullied in terms of physicality. In fact, I think New Zealand can give as good as they get. The Warriors, of course, are largely rested, which I believe was absolutely the right call for them. They got Tamari Martin back. He got a game in. It's still a tough task, second game back, to be able to try and dissect this Penrith defence. It's a day game, which is cool for the local Warriors fans. I don't know if they'd be better suited if this was a night game, perhaps. I still lean unders. I kind of think New Zealand can keep Penrith under 30 points. Webster was the Panthers' attack coach, of course, last season. So if anyone can plan to limit the back-to-back Premier's damage, it's Webby, and I think he can instill confidence in the boys by, you know, giving them the recipe for success. But whether you can actually do it, I think they can stifle the Panthers. But then to cover the line, New Zealand would have to score at least two tries, maybe three. And I'm not sure if they could. At the other end, Penrith are so dominant defensively as well. So probably a lean to Penrith and see them getting one step away from a grand final as well.
I think tactically you just broke that down beautifully. There's some stuff in there that I didn't even think to consider. And I loved your observation about the line. You're right. So the Cowboys one was 12 and a half. So the bookies are actually...
No, you could... Oh, 10 and a half.
10 and a half. Wow, you get as low as that. Like, yep. Yeah, that's yeah, that is a little bit strange because the Warriors are definitely a better side than the Cowboys next year. Where I went with my analysis on this one, a couple of points I had to make. Warriors have not won a finals game since 2011. Panthers have won their last seven in a row over the Warriors, and we know the Panthers have only lost a handful of games at Bluebet since 2020. Then I want to factor in, and Warriors fans are going to hate me, but this is a Warriors side that has only beaten other final sides this year that they've beaten is the Knights in round one, a long time ago, Sharks by two in round five, and the Sharks by 32 points in round 20. So they beat the Knights in round one, and they beat the Sharks twice this year. They didn't record a win over any of the big major players, I suppose you could say. And
they
would
beat Canberra. Sorry to interrupt you.
I don't.
They're not a major player. Sorry, I thought you said final side.
Yeah. Well, in the first part, they might have beat Canberra. I'm just trying to think back to that game. They did in Jared Croker's 300th.
They beat them in the Golden Point as well.
Right. And I guess that we'll see why I didn't add the Raiders when I get to the preview of that game.
Okay.
Got me there. They are a final side. You're absolutely correct. I should have included
mathematically
that.
They are, at least.
Yes. Yes, they are a final side. but look, the Warriors are a side where I think when you look at all of that, so we've got wins over the Knights in round one, twice the Sharks, twice the Raiders, not major players, some wins over final side, but it probably is fair to question their credentials in some way. The issue is, and why I don't want to do that, is they've already proven everyone wrong this year. And for that reason, I think you can't write them off completely. I thought they'd be in the bottom four this year. Instead, they're in the top four. So it's super, super impressive. I'd hate to underestimate them and make that mistake again. I know this game means so much to them. And I do believe, based on what I've seen this year, they can compete here. Panthers did beat them by 12 in Magic Round. I think they've improved since then. I think Panthers have improved as well, but I do think a combination of what you said, they do have a former Panthers coach on their roster, and Jerome Luai. There has been games where Nathan Cleary's not quite been himself without Jerome Luai next to him. So I do think for all the haters Jerome Luai has, the Panthers do lose a peg or two without him. So I'm going to go with my gut feeling here. I'm going to play the Warriors plus 13 and a half. I don't think they'll win, but I think you're giving yourself over a two converted try advantage there, where if they're at least in the contest and fighting hard, you're going to give yourself a chance there. So I'll go with my gut and I'll give the Warriors a chance in this one.
And for those who remember Magic Round, bogus sin bin in the second half as well when the game was in the balance. So the Warriors can take confidence from that battle with Penrith. It certainly wasn't a mismatch. I'll put you on the spot. I've seen you posting a lot of awards. Forgive me if I missed this one. Have you said who you would give Coach of the Year?
I said that I'd give it to Andrew Webster. I had him.
I agree.
I had Walters second and Cleary third. It's a strange one.
AOB. Coach of the Year. AOB.
He could be there too. It's a really strange one because if we talk about Coach of the Year, who's the best coach? Cleary. He won the minor premiership, but we know it doesn't work like that. It's usually based on where you came from last year to now. So I do think Andrew Webster deserves it. As a rookie coach, finishing in the top four with a side that hasn't played finals, I think, since 2018, it's really impressive what he's done there. This next game is a really tough one to pick. It's Sharks v. Roosters. We're at the huge construction site that is PointsBet Stadium, Saturday, 7:50 p.m. It's a pick 'em. The line is not in favor of either side. For the Sharkies, they have the same 17 as last week, but there are reports that Connor Tracy will be pulled out on game day and Will Kennedy will return at fullback. For the Roosters, Joey Manu is named to return from the hamstring injury, will be given every opportunity, but he's not a certainty. Odds makers view this one as a flip of the coin game. You're leaning with the Sharks ever so slightly. Is that correct?
That's right. And I said at the start of the show, we don't do a lot of guessing in terms of how teams line up. But this would be my biggest question mark game. Like, how is Connor Tracy's knee? And if it's not good enough, how's Will Kennedy's hamstring? But on the other side, for the tricolours, how is Joey Manu's calf? He couldn't play in a do or die last week. I'm not convinced he's going to be a rider's reign suddenly this week. It is certainly the most evenly matched game of the weekend. No one's probably going to disagree with me there. You said it's a pick-em game. And you've got the Roosters that have won five in a row, while the Sharks lost by 30 just 2 weeks ago and then arguably needed an opponent sent off before they took control against Canberra. But for me, Cronulla, I think there's something to be said for being relatively safe for the last two or three weeks in the top eight, not being under that immense pressure. But at the same time, Cronulla was kind of also a bit out of the force. I didn't feel like they were playing any desperation games. You can't say the same about the Roosters. They've been on a tightrope, and I do wonder if that takes it out of you. Like, I was so impressed by the desperation that the Roosters showed in that second half when they were under the pump against the Bunnies, and I really feel like Robinson had to draw upon every ounce of energy they had left and told them at halftime, your club needs you right now to go out and protect this lead. You know, can they back it up? I look at a Sharks side that poured everything into week one of the finals last year and ultimately lost in a 90-minute epic. And although they got two bites of the cherry last year, they were done really after one because of how much that game took out of them. And I bring that game up because it's been spoken about a lot this week, and Cronulla really wants to right those wrongs, and they get a chance in front of the home faithful. And I do think home advantage it is significant as well. I know people liking the Roosters because they've looked as good as they have all year. Walker's back, he looked awesome. And then Keary seems to play even better alongside Walker. But I feel like since the Sharks changed their halves to Hines and Trindle, that's been their most productive pairing as well. I see a lot of power in both back lines. When I look to the forwards, you know, Warrior Hargraves being out, it's not as big of a loss as it used to be. But for me, I kind of look at the Sharks pack and it's like McInnes is just a dog and Nikora's a gun. Rudolph has had a great year since he's been back. And then when you look at the Roosters, a couple of guys that I loved preseason, I have to admit, I pitched them to win the premiership preseason. Like, Victor the Inflictor hasn't elevated to being one of the two or three best locks in the comp. Like, I thought he should this year. And Brandon Smith hasn't lived up to the hype of maybe the best signing of the year, which many predicted. Crichton, we understand his struggles. These are all little edges why I favour Cronulla, and being able to get him plus a half a point first half is a real edge as well. because again, it could be low scoring. And push come to shove up, we'll also take Cronulla for the win. It's just my best bet, I feel, would be a big advantage play.
I think most people, if they're looking at this one and they like the Roosters, they're probably looking at that win streak, which is five in a row. For what it's worth, I did look up the Sharks, as you said. They bowed out back-to-back last year. They came into the finals on a five-game win streak also. So I guess that does go to show a regular season win streak doesn't always equate to immediate success in the finals. I went through both sides' seasons, and they both only have a couple wins over top eight opponents this year. Sharks did beat the Roosters at this venue in round 7, 22-12. We were actually live on TikTok for that game. I don't know if you remember. And I mean, you go to the home advantage. So it's a Sharks home advantage. I have to admit, I was there for the Titans game, respectfully as possible. It probably was the quietest crowd I've ever been to. I'm not sure if the fans just weren't hyped because they were smashing us so easily, but there was no chance. There was no banter. It just didn't feel like a stadium. It felt like a ground. And so I don't know how much of a home advantage that will really provide for the Sharkies there. Roosters, as I touched on, come into this game riding a five-game win streak. But if you break down that win streak, I think it's fair to say Rabbitohs are probably the only notable win within that. I know the Eels were there, but they did have Mitchell Moses out at that stage. So I really only think the Rabbitohs game is the notable win from that win streak. And we saw what happened to the Rabbitohs season there.
I mean, North Queensland in North Queensland looked good at the time, but I guess you could say that side fell away.
Yeah, you're right. It'd be between the Cowboys and the Rabbitohs for their most notable win in that five-game win streak, whereas Sharks only have one loss in their past five, that being to the Knights. So both sides going well enough as they reach into this one. I'm going to tip the Sharkies. I'm going to favour them on the basis of consistency across the entire NRL season. And I think especially if Joseph Manu doesn't play, typically hamstring injuries, even when they're minor, are 2+ weeks. Which he'd be right on the verge of right now. So if he doesn't play, I really lean to the Sharks. They've averaged 26 points per game this year. Roosters have only averaged 20. And that extra try really can be the difference when we talk finals football. Any little stats advantages you can get, big players like Manu missing, it all really adds up in must-win footy. So my tip here, Sharkies head-to-head. I think they get the job done. And our final game of the round is the Knights v Raiders. Raiders fans are going to absolutely hate me by the end of what I've got to say here. But it's at McDonald Jones Stadium, Sunday, 4:05 p.m. And the line is set at -12.5 in the Knights' favour, who welcome back Ponga, Hastings and Fitzgibbon from injury. And all players that were rested return also for the Raiders there with that Sebastian Chris. He is suspended. So James Schiller comes onto the wing there. The Knights are looking for a massive 10 in a row here, Winnie. This is like a savage take, but can you see the Raiders offering any resistance at all? Or do you just see this being an absolute blow out of the park?
The Raiders are one of those sides that can be tough and can they can bring their opponent sometimes down to their level. And yeah. I felt they were doing that. And they did have a halftime lead against Cronulla a week ago. So I don't want to fully disrespect Canberra. You know, I'm not afraid of them, but I don't live in Canberra. I don't have to walk the streets of Canberra like you do. And you're disrespecting them here, so you're a braver man than me. Look, I want to talk about the Knights firstly. The Knights have actually beaten Canberra already twice this year, and it's funny because the Raiders were solid favourites both times, and I took the Knights as the best bet in Canberra 5 or 6 weeks ago and said at the time, like, why does the market think the Raiders are the better team? Now it's not even a discussion who the better team is, isn't it? And I did say this on the recap as well. I love the Knights preseason, as people know, but I really doubled down, tipping them most improved 17-1, ladder handicap 14-1, best of the bottom 5, 6-1. Did you know that in 2022, the Knights points differential was -272, and this year it was a +175, which means they improved by 450 points. Mm. They improved by margin nearly 20 points per game, but they didn't win the most improved because of the season New Zealand had. They pipped them. So you get a runner-up in three long shots, it doesn't count for much. But I am happy, as I said, a few happy punters DMing me on the weekend because some bookies had the ladder handicap varying by a point or two, and it paid out as a winner, I think, at least on a 365. But all of that is to say it was valuable to not write off Newcastle coming into the year. But how much does it help us now if the marketplace has caught up and if people recognize, you know, Knights are very good and the Raiders are not. I have to imagine the value runs out some point soon. But then when I look at Canberra, Horsberg's been just about their best this year. He's out, and on top of that, Papa losing that punch in the middle. Chris has been another top performer. He's gone. And last week, they only scored one try. It was off a bomb. I really don't see where the points come from for Canberra. I guess if you play Newcastle, you worry about the Ponga and Hastings injuries. But from what I understand, they're more so pain management than anything. And you just have a club that's been crying out for success and has deserved it with the loyalty of the fans for a long time. Now you win 9 in a row. I think they've sold out the stadium 5 times in a row. You're playing in the day. And I liked Cronulla a week ago, -9.5. And the Knights are better than Cronulla, and Chris is out now. So it's the same logic. That's why I think they will cover the 12.5 line. But the more I thought about it, I feel like I especially like the Knights' ability to blow them away later in the game. The longer the game progresses, I just feel like Canberra's just going to be hanging in there. Whatever Canberra have, they're going to have to front load and then hope that they can, you know, hang in there. And the way I think about playing the -6 second half is if the Knights are up by more than 6 at halftime, we have an inferior line. But you're not going to feel that bad about laying one converted try because Canberra can't chase points, I don't feel. And I do think the Knights can go on with it as they have in many of the games that they've won this year. So that's the reason I played it that way. And I think you see it similarly.
Yeah, I'm really keen on the Knights in this one. For me, it's probably one of the easiest finals game I've ever predicted in my time covering the sport. I just can't see a world where the Raiders win here. Based on their recent form, based on exactly what you said, where do the points come from? Like Jordan Rapana is a good fill-in fullback. He had a really good game earlier. They're missing so much punch in the middle. This is a side that realistically, they probably limped into the finals. They haven't hit it running. They haven't hit it sprinting like the Knights have. Their 4-and-against is worse than the Dolphins, who are 13th, fifth last. Which is, you know, really, really crazy to think about. They're also the only side in the history of the NRL to play finals without recording a 13-plus victory all season. They're also without their best player this year in Corey Horsburgh, their spiritual leader in Big Papa, and Sebastian Chris, as you said, who has been pretty handy for him this year in a number of positions. That really leaves Joseph Tarpany as their main man. Maybe Jack Whiten could turn it on. He hasn't been himself this year. And maybe Hudson Young. Tarpany and Hudson Young, they can't match it on their own against this Knights forward pack, in my opinion. Knights have not won a finals match since 2013, so this will be the first time in a decade they've won a finals game. And they're in front of a sold-out crowd, which we know, in the case of the Knights this year, is a genuine advantage. It wasn't at the start of the year. Their stats at home were horrible, but they've gone and they've made a really good go of it at their home ground this year. Raiders are 1-from-6 against the Knights in recent games in McDonald Jones. At home this year, the Knights, they did lose to the Dolphins early in the year. Then they lost to the Panthers by 1 point and to the Roosters by 2 points. So when you factor that in, really, besides way back early in the year, that's 3 points they lost by in two games at home there. They got a great record there. Meanwhile, Raiders are 3-from-10 against top 8 sides this year. It doesn't really matter how you cut it. Every single indication stat I can bring you guys is that the Knights win here and that they win well. I'm tipping they cover that line. I'm tipping they put on a show. I saw Colt asking for any time try scorer male in this one. This is the game I'm looking at where I'd throw in a few options. I think this will be the highest scoring potential for the Knights. So I'm tipping them. It's going to be a show. The only way I see that changing, Winnie, is if for some reason they were bold enough to rest Ponga or Hastings for another week. I don't think they'll take that risk. So I got Knights by plenty, and you have a mixed matchup for us.
Well, I actually think that would be smart to rest Ponga and back the team to win and then say, we got to go to New Zealand next week, most likely. Like Ponga can say to the boys, you win this for me and I'm going to win it for you next week. But of course, like if you didn't win and you rested Ponga, you know, it's probably a fireable offense. So of course he's going to play and play through that shoulder injury where you are going to be concerned about contact and maybe he runs the ball a little bit less, but I feel like he's the type of player so dynamic that even as a decoy, he is still very valuable as well. And look, was it Colt who asked for a try scorer tip? Your wish is our command, because not only is Clarkey looking at this game for any time try scorer, so is Nicole. Let's have a listen.
Hey everyone, it's Nicole from Wiki. I reckon the Knights and the Raiders game is the one to target from a try scorer perspective in week one of the finals. Gaga and Hastings, our model loves both of them as value try scorer picks. I'm going to pick out Jackson Hastings, $6.50 to score a try anytime on Betr. Hastings will most likely be up against that left side of the Raiders with Whiten in the centres, Frawley in the halves, and also from a price perspective, our model absolutely loves it. Good luck, guys. Gamble responsibly. If you want to check out this odds comparison tool, just Google Wiki Linktree. You can find our Discord on there as well.
So there's a try scorer from Nicole, and I'll carry on straight away on this game as well with the mixed matchup. So you know I like Storm unders. Their total is 18.5. That's the best bet. So I think in the teens, if Brisbane could even hold them to a couple of tries. And I'm going to go Knights to outscore them. Of course, the Knights are predicted to score a lot more than Melbourne this weekend. It's Knights second half only, where Newcastle's predicted over under 12.5. So that's why we're a $3.35 underdog. You can up to 100 on that toppy. The promo code is TP Live. Again, I feel like for that upside of that price, you can definitely see Newcastle running in some tries a lot more easily than the Storm will find the going on Friday night.
Spot on, mate. I can see a world where the Knights really run away with this, like they have in recent weeks, where the home crowd just gets rowdy and they keep playing until the 80th minute, which is really, really fun to watch the Knights at the moment. This would make it 10 in a row. So it's a big game, big round of footy. That is all for our preview show. So to everyone that's viewed this one and anyone listening as a podcast later, I want to say thank you very much for being here with us. We appreciate you being here. We'll be back on Sunday with a recap show. Well, I won't be. You will be, Winnie. I'll be in Sydney for the UFC. So it'll be a solo recap show. But I'm going to get off the air right now, but you're coming back on the air with another show. So maybe a chance to tell everyone what that one is real quick as well.
Yeah, that's right. 7:30. So it's about 15 minutes from now. I'm back. Nicole's going to join me. So he's going to give try scorer tips and angles and observations for all four games. But it's a finals overall extravaganza preview. I've got another guest. I still don't want to spoil it until he's live on the air with us. But we're going to answer some of those questions that have come up in the comments. Top point scorer, top try scorer, premiership winner to make the grand final. All those overall markets that you can have a punt on, that's our extravaganza special. So, yeah, we'll upload this audio pod, and then I'll be back in the virtual studio and hope you guys can join me again live at 7:30. But if not, you've got a couple of days. You know what? I've also got a combo market because the AFL finals, I saw Charlie Cripps is in the chat. AFL finals, of course, kick off, and a Rugby World Cup as well. And you know we won the World Cup combo last year. I've got a doozy of a combo for all these big events tied into the NRL finals as well. If you're interested, you can jump into our show and have a look and see what you reckon. But either way, enjoy the week and, of course, the weekend, guys. Especially best of luck to those whose teams are taking part. And, I'll see you on Sunday for the recap. So enjoy your weekend too, Clarkey. And
thank you, sir.
Legal.